Hallelujah. Remember, Brother Paul's coming 18th to 22nd of May. We will have a program out shortly. Bible school will be starting soon. We now have 4 students. None against you ladies, but I am chuffed. Our first fella, hallelujah. So that'll be good. Yeah, Bible school starting soon. Brother Paul coming. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for your words this morning to us already, Lord. I thank you the way you've ministered to us through the worship. You've ministered to us through one another, through the testimonies, through the pictures, through the scriptures that we've read, through what people have shared, through the prayer ministry. I thank you that you have ministered to us so much already this morning, Lord. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you for this word. I thank you for these seeds that are about to be planted. I thank you for our hearts sitting there waiting, ready to receive these seeds. So in accordance with Scripture, I speak out understanding in the mighty name of Jesus that these seeds will not be stolen away, that these seeds will plant, they will germinate, they'll grow, they'll develop fruit, and we'll see them manifest in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm really excited about this message, especially once Michelle just said what she said, because that was like the message. That's great for me, because I'm kind of sitting there thinking, what am I going to preach on? Because I just finished a series, and what am I going to preach on? And I have been quite challenging, shall we say, once I finished the ABC Success. I've been quite challenging the last few weeks, encouraging people to study. I had a wonderful bit of feedback this morning from Chris saying, you know, I go to Switzerland, and I just can't get away from you. I just can't get away from you telling me to go to Bible school. So there is no escape from the Vic. Hallelujah. That is great. Even in Switzerland, he was hearing from the Lord, nay for me. So that's awesome. So, but yeah, like Chris said, it's been quite challenging, the messages the last few weeks. So I really want to give you a message that I think will encourage you this morning. Now, I'm not sure yet if it's the start of a new series. It might be 25 messages long. I don't know. Or this might just be a one-off. I'm not really sure. But I was inspired to preach on this by what Pauline said during the testimony 2 weeks ago. Pauline said, I did the Bible school because I wanted to find out what my purpose was in life. What did God want me to do in my life and in the kingdom? And Pauline thought, if I do this course of study, that'll help me focus on finding what my purpose is. So that's what I want to look at this morning. That's inspired me to look at that. I've got a few questions to ask, but you know what the answers are going to be. It's like, do we have a plan and a purpose? Oh, Michelle's told you, yes, you have. That's kind of knocked that one on the head. Do we have a plan and a purpose? Or, as some people think, you know, are we just born, we get educated, learn some skills, learn a trade, and then move into something and ask God to bless it? Which is what I see a lot of folk doing. What are we good at? What job have I got? God, will you bless this? Is that what it is? Do we just fall into ministry? Some of us, do we just fall into careers and then ask God to bless that? Or does God actually have an original plan and a purpose for each one of us? Do we have a plan, or do we just do what we want and ask God to come alongside and help us out? Does God have a plan for every single one of us, or is it just those special anointed ones? I'll just sit and listen, and I'll answer that question. But you are correct. This message is for everyone, not just as Andrew calls the super dupers. This is for everyone. So before I look at the message, I just want to do a couple of scriptures and just check that we're all on the same page about a couple of things before I start teaching stuff out of the Bible I want you to believe about yourself. So let's just check a couple of sort of ground rules first. So I know that you're all up to speed with me. So let's just check something first, make sure you're all right. Let's look at 2 Timothy 3:16, which we've done the last couple of weeks. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Do we all agree? I haven't asked you yet. Yes, we all agree. Yes, we do agree. Well, you know what's coming. Do we agree that this is the word of God speaking to us?
Yes.
Literally God breathed. We do believe that.
Yes?
Can I get a yes from everybody?
Yes.
Excellent. Okay. And then go with me to Acts 10, verse 34. This is a chain of thought there. Verse 34, I'll tell you the joke. It says, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons.'" Andrew Womack says, I think it was Andrew Womack, I heard him recently saying, Peter didn't say a lot. Generally, when he opened his mouth, it's to put one of his feet in it. I love that. Whenever he opened his mouth, it was to put one of his feet in it. "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'Of a truth, this is a truth.'" Well, it's obviously a truth because it's written in the Bible. "'Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons.'" Now, we know that verse here doesn't mean about he doesn't respect people. It means he has no favorites. It means that if he does something for one person, he will do it for you. So if you see God doing something for a person in the Bible, which is his truth, literally God breathed, you can know if it's not been changed at the cross, if it's not old covenant, if it's acceptable under the new covenant, that is also for you. Do you believe that? So if you see something that was written about Jeremiah or Isaiah or David or Paul, and it's not old covenant, it's not been replaced at the cross, it's a new covenant principle as well. If you see that happening to them, it's true for you. Yes?
Yes.
Excellent. Now we've sorted that out, we can begin. Because I'm going to tell you some truths that I know some of you don't believe. I know that by the way you act. I'm trying to be encouraging. I'm trying not to be challenging. It will encourage you. I know, by the way some people act, that they don't believe what God says about David is true about them. And I know some people believe that what God has in store for Isaiah and Jeremiah, they don't believe that they have it in store for them. So got that right. Word is God breathed, everything there is truth, and God is no respecter of persons. Awesome. I wanted to embed that, because what I want to teach, I don't want you to exclude yourself from and saying, "Oh, well, that's not for me." Well, it is. 2 Timothy 3:16, Acts 10:34. It's for you. You may think, "Oh, well, yeah, that's great, Vic. I see that about Isaiah. Powerful man of God. I see that about Jeremiah. Powerful man of God. I see that about Paul. Powerful man of God." You might even say, "Yeah, I can see that's true for you, Vic." That's when you're supposed to say, "Powerful man of God. Powerful man of God." What many of us do far too often is see, "Yeah, I can see it for Jeremiah. Yeah, I can see it for Isaiah. They're great man. David, oh, great man of God. Yeah, I can see that that's working in Vic's life. You know, he's in full-time ministry. I can see that. He's anointed. I can see that in Andrew Womack, Joseph Prince, Brother Paul. But is it really for me?" Well, I tell you, it is. You've got to believe that. I'll say it as a we need to stop excluding ourselves from the truths of the Bible. Stop excluding ourselves. "Well, I know God loves them, but, does he really love me? I know God wants them healed. I know God wants them prosperous, but, does he really want me healed? Does he really want me prosperous?" Thinking that way is wrong thinking. It's bad thinking. And we know, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So if we're thinking that way, we need to get rid of it. It is wrong thinking. It is bad thinking. If we see something in the Word, even in the Old Covenant, if we see something in the Word that's not been dealt with at the cross, not been changed at the cross, it's still relevant for us today. Because I'm going to use a lot of Old Covenant scriptures today. Oh, it's Old Covenant, Vic. It's not relevant to me. Oh, it is, unless it's been dealt with at the cross. But the Old Covenant talks about sacrifices. Don't do that anymore. No, because that was dealt with at the cross. The fact that the Old Covenant is full of people saying God loves them, that didn't change at the cross. That's still a New Covenant principle. Okay? Because I am prone, if people ask me, what about this? Oh, it's Old Covenant. What about this? Oh, it's Old Covenant. We don't throw away out everything in the Old Covenant. Lots of valuable stuff there. It was the law, the sacrifices, all that kind of stuff. If it was dealt with at the cross, then it's different. So a little bit of revision there. There are people who really need to hear this. Anyone with any sense of low self-esteem, low self-worth, a low opinion of themselves, need to hear this, believe it, speak it out, and understand it. So hopefully it'll encourage a lot of people. Okay, now that I've got that sorted, let's think about this question. The question I want to ask, and this may be a series, I'm not sure, but the question I want to look at is, why am I here? Why am I here? Inspired by Pauline? What's my purpose? What am I supposed to be doing? Why? And people have asked that all down the ages and tried to answer it. Why am I here? Why now? Why now? Why at this time? In this place? With this family, in this fellowship, why am I here? Why have I got these kind of talents? Why am I not good at this? Why am I good at that? Why do I just seem to have been born able to do this and not able to do that? Why am I here? Well, I want to show you today, start answering this question, I want to show you today, first point, you're not here by accident. You're not here as in born at this time, at this place, in this church even. You're not here by accident. But your birth, you're not here by accident. God wasn't surprised when you popped out. Yeah? God wasn't even surprised 9 months before you popped out. I want to show you today that God, indeed, Michelle, has a plan and a purpose for your life. Thank you for that reminder. I want to show you that before time, God knew you. Before time. Not even before you were born. Not even before you were conceived. Not even before the creation of the world, but before time itself, God knew you, wanted good things for you. Who, me? Yes, you. Every single one of you. Oh, I'm not so sure about that. 2 Timothy 3:16, Acts 10:34. I'm going to show you out of this book that that's the truth. I'm going to show you scriptures that are as relevant to you as they are for Isaiah, Jeremiah, David, and Paul. 2 Timothy 3:16, Acts 10:34. I'm going to keep saying that. This is for you. Okay, Vic, so what's for me? Jeremiah 29:11 is for you. These are not new scriptures I'm going to use today. I might have a new slant on them, but they're not new scriptures. Well, nothing's new in this place, is it? How long have I been preaching now? 10 years. Nothing new. Jeremiah 29:11. God speaking to Jeremiah. So who else is he speaking to? Yes, because this hasn't changed at the cross. This hasn't been altered going from Old Covenant to New Covenant. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. Kind of blows out the doctrine that God will make you sick. Sickness is evil. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. My extensive studies of the New Covenant leads me to believe that this has not changed. You need to believe that. There's no scriptures at the cross or post-cross that is going to negate this, is there? There's nothing that says, yeah, God might start thinking evil thoughts. There's no scripture that says God doesn't think about you anymore. There's no scriptures that says, well, God doesn't want you to have a good finish. Doesn't want you to live well. None of those scriptures. So New Covenant scriptures all backs this up. So that's okay. God knew Jeremiah. He knows you. God has thoughts about Jeremiah. Notice the way I said that. Not God had thoughts about Jeremiah. God has thoughts about Jeremiah. He had thoughts about him as well. But when this has been right, he has thoughts about him. God has plans for him. Had plans and has plans. So transfer that on to you. He's got plans for me. He's got plans for you. That word, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you. I looked that up. That word think literally means to weave, to plot, to devise. I love that. To weave, weaving. God is doing things for our plan. God is weaving a plan for us. Now again, I use those words deliberately. God is weaving. God is planning. God is devising. Those are present tense words. Many people seem to think that God had a plan for us, had a plan for everybody, had a plan for the world, started it like a clockwork universe, wound it up, started it and set it off, and then just kind of stands back and watches. That's not the way God operates. This verse is saying God weaves his plans for us. He's active. He's working. He has a plan for us, and he's trying to get us into it. But, in his infinite wisdom, which sometimes, in my little brain, I think might have been a wee bit of a mistake, he gave me free will. And for some of you, it's an even bigger mistake. He gave you free will. He has this plan and a purpose that he's devised for us. It's a plan and a purpose that he is active in as well, working in, but he's given us free will. So we can say, well, fair enough, but I'm not interested. I'll go my own way. I'll go my way. But he has this plan that he's devised for us and he wants us to move into, and he's guiding us and he's urging us and he's weaving things to try and get us into this plan. But as he's given us free will and he doesn't force us to do anything, he cannot make us do that plan and do that purpose. We have to get in line and find out what it is. And one of the ways to find that out, Pauline, is to study the Word. He has a plan for us. He's trying to get us into it. He is prompting, he's reminding, he's encouraging us through the Word, through the Holy Spirit, through each other. What is he weaving? A plan that is good. A good plan. Not of evil. Thoughts of peace. Shalom. To be well. To be safe. To be prosperous. Man, even in the old covenant. Prosperity. Don't like that word, Vic. Tough. That's what Jesus died for. But even in the old covenant, before Jesus died, God wants his people to have peace, shalom, wellness, safety, prosperity. Tell you what, that didn't change at the cross. 3 John 2. Brethren, above all things, I wish that you live in health and prosperity. Just in case you want a new covenant confirmation for that. What does God want to give us? Same as he wants to give Jeremiah. An expected end. That word expected is hope. Expectation. Looking forward to something nice. When I hope for something, it's always good. I then hope that I'm going to crash a car or not have anything to eat or not have any money. I don't hope for that. I hope for good things. You'd be daft if you're hoping for bad things. So to get an expected end, this hope that God wants us to have is all good stuff. Only good things come down from the Father in heaven. Good and perfect gifts, isn't it? That's what the word says. Even with just that one verse that was said to Jeremiah, but said to you, we can answer part of this question, why am I here? You're here to be well and prosperous. We might get into it later, I'm not really sure, but for me there's kind of two levels to this plan and a purpose that God has for us. He's got a corporate plan and a purpose. That's to be saved, to be made righteous, to be made whatever in Christ. That's our corporate plan and purpose. We have an individual one as well. To be a pastor. To be a homemaker. To prepare the church for a service. We all have that plan and a purpose. But one of the plans and purposes, one of the reasons why you're here, is this corporate one, to be well and to be prosperous and to be blessed. Is that nae good news? Why am I here? You're here to be well, to be safe, to be prosperous. Amen? You definitely have a plan and a purpose from God. And it's this hope that you are well. Let's look at Jeremiah 1, 4 and 5. So that's like the corporate. There's a corporate plan and a purpose for all of us. And then let's go to Jeremiah 1, verse 4 and 5. This is Jeremiah, right? And it says, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." Oh, now, yeah, we could get into a whole kind of debate there, but again, I'm not going to go into it. "And before thou camest forth out of the womb," that sounds a bit better than my popping out, doesn't it? A bit more poetic. "And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nation." So the Lord, speaking to Jeremiah, saying, "I have a specific job for you." He said that to Jeremiah. I don't see this being replaced by the cross or altered in the new covenant. So what does that say to you? God says to you, "I have a job for you. I have a plan and a purpose for you. I have a role for you in life, in the kingdom," whatever you want to say. "I have a plan for your life." That's what God's saying. That's quite easy. Before he was even created in the womb, God had devised something for Jeremiah to do. 2 Timothy 2:16, Acts 10:34. The same is true for you. Really? Me? Do you know who I am, Vic? Do you know what I think? Do you know what I'm like? Yeah? So did God. So does God. But he knew that before time and still deemed you worthy enough. You worthy enough to have a plan and a purpose from him. Yeah, there's probably not many prophets to the nations in here. Who knows? But that's where it's different. He can't make everybody a prophet. "Well, I'm never going to be a prophet to the nation, Vic." Well, maybe not. So why does this account for me? Well, it accounts for you because it's God speaking to an individual and saying, "You, as an individual, I have something for you to do." Irrespective of what it was. That could have been for Jeremiah. "I have ordained you to sweep the front steps of the temple. I have ordained you to prepare the sacrifices in that temple and sell the doves." Could have been anything. Just in this instance, it just happens to be something quite good, a prophet to all the nations. But that doesn't matter. In this context, in the way I'm teaching in this example, it was here as an individual that God knew before time, and he was created for a purpose. Just let that sink in, what I've said. God created this person for a purpose. That's you. Preparing for this, I'm kind of like, my just little brain is trying to take this in. That before time, there was God, I don't know what else was there, but he was there, they were there. And you can't put human things onto God, but you know, one day it was like, "Oh, I think I might create a universe. I'll create this world," and "Oh, yes, yes, and I need a pastor for MGF, that'll be Vic." That thought must have gone through his mind, of whatever he's got, because I believe I'm in his plan and purpose right now. I believe it was created before time. So there must have been a some point before the earth was here, before time, that God actually knew and thought about me. This distiller fae Avis. But God is no respecter of persons. So what he did for me, he done for you. Now, I don't know how, he must have had plenty of time, but then he was out of time, so he had all the time he needed because he created time. It's phenomenal. You go home tonight and in your bed, think about that. That before time, God thought about me and had a plan and a purpose for me. If you really get that, there should be nothing that stops you from finding out what that plan and purpose is. Amen. What I get out of this verse is that God's not sitting up there, got something that needs doing, somebody pops out, I'll use him, I'll use her. Or, I need, you know, God's got this plan and this purpose and this vision, and part of it is a church in Lossie called MGF, and then he sees this guy called Vic who seems to be performing pretty well with people management at a big company. And, oh, I could transfer those skills to make him a pastor. No, that's not the way God works. So before time, in order to do what I'm doing now, pastor, run my own business, all that kind of things, I needed to get people skills. Oh, lo and behold, I was trained in that kind of things ages ago. Maybe part of his plan and his purpose. He doesn't write role profiles and then go looking for them, is what I'm trying to say. Oh, he'll do. He's been doing that for 10 years. I'll use him. No, maybe he'll use him because he planned it however many years ago before time was created. I'm going way off track again. God just doesn't plan with what turns up. He didn't just turn up and he says, oh, you look a decent guy, I'll use you. No, he's planned for you. Eons ago, he had a plan for Jeremiah. It was a prophet to the nation. Now, my plan, your plan might be different. We can't all be prophets to the nations. We can't all be preachers. We can't all be teachers, evangelists, prophets, apostles. I don't want to be too cynical, but I've been around quite a bit. And when I see people prophesying over people, it's always worldwide ministries. You know, you've got a meeting with a couple of hundred people. Wow, 7 or 8 worldwide ministries popping up all over the place. New seasons in ministry. Wonderful new ministries. Voice to the nations, voice to the world. You know, you never, or I've not, heard someone stand up and say, stand up, you anointed one. Stand up, you anointed one. I'm going to prophesy over you. You're fantastic. You're going to have a brilliant ministry. You're going to set out the chairs in the church. I never hear that. Awesome. The Lord's speaking to me about you, sister. Your sausage rolls are going to be amazing. They are. Hallelujah. That must be a word of knowledge. That comes through. Don't hear that. Don't hear people being prophesied over about what I would call normal, usual ministries. We can't all be super dupers. Your ministry is going to take off and you're going to be the best person at setting out chairs. Your light shows are going to be awesome. Your sandwiches are going to be amazing. Don't often hear that. Why do I say that? To say that every role in the kingdom, every plan and a purpose that God has given us as a body is valuable. Not everybody's going to be a pastor and a teacher. Not everybody's going to be up front teaching to thousands of people, 20 people. That's just not going to happen. But whatever plan and a purpose he has given you is essential and it's vital for the kingdom. Valuable roles. I'm sure Dave and Chris won't mind me saying this because they've said it themselves. They were given a word that they were going to be pillars for me and Nunzi and that they were going to support our ministry. Now, there's an honest word prophecy, an honest prediction. They weren't told, you guys are going to be super dupers and preach to the nations and have a worldwide ministry. No, they were told, you're part of the kingdom is to support 2 other people who are in ministry. But they are in ministry as well. And it's just as valuable. Everybody who took food this morning, that's a valuable ministry. Reggie, Michelle gave me a tub of coins. That's ministry. That's valuable. Supporting other people, doing the work in the church, is as valuable plan and a purpose as the guy out the front. Because the guy out the front can't do his job if there's not people in the background doing the essential stuff. So I can just swan in here on a Sunday and preach. Andrew Womack can just swan in and preach. He has hundreds, if not thousands, of people behind him. We can't all be Andrew Womacks. You can't all be Vic Camerons. Thank goodness. But you can all find an Andrew Womack or a Vic Cameron or somebody to get behind and help. Some people don't like that. I would go so far, though, as to say, if you're not willing to help with another man's ministry, you're not worthy to have your own. Is that what Jesus said? Hallelujah. I knew I was on the right track. Yes, you're right. Luke 16. Prompting from the Holy Spirit there, you know. Yeah, well, we can't all be Andrew Womacks, but how many people does Andrew Womack have supporting him with their ministries? Andrew Womack himself says the cleaners in that place, the Caris Bible College, have as valuable a ministry as he has, because he can't do it without them. You know, when I'm saying you have a plan and a purpose, yeah, you're not all going to be preachers, teachers, pastors, evangelists, apostles. But your ministry might be getting behind one of them. Your ministry might be teaching in school for your whole career. Your ministry might be developing a business, creating wealth for the kingdom. Your ministry might be staying at home and bringing up the kids. But that's just as valuable. If that's your plan and purpose from God, that's as valuable as what Andrew Womack's doing, what I'm doing. Don't ever devalue your ministry. Oh, but Vic, it's just doing this, it's just doing that. The guy that drove Billy Graham to his meeting where Billy Graham got saved and decided he was going to be an evangelist, that guy's ministry was driving people to meetings. Oh, whoop-de-doo, so all you do in your ministry is give people a lift. That guy's ministry has saved millions of people. Just so happens Billy Graham was involved with that guy's ministry. Just as valuable. We've all got different ministries. Isaiah 49. Hope this is encouraging you. Verse 1 and 5. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from afar. The Lord hath called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. I think I prefer popping out. Again, very similar to Jeremiah. Isaiah, before he was born, God knew what he was going to do. God knew what he wanted him to do. In verse 5, and now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him. Though Israel be not glorified, yet I shall be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. Do things in God's strength, we can fulfill that plan and that purpose. Isaiah, same as Jeremiah, a plan and a purpose before he was created, before he was in the womb, God knew him. And we're the same. Yeah, Vic, yeah, it's okay for Jeremiah, yeah, it's okay for Isaiah, but really for me, yes. You can't have said yes to the two questions at the start and say no now. No, I don't believe this is for me. No, you can't. You have to believe that. Oh, it's Old Covenant, Vic. Yeah, I'm a New Covenant guy. Galatians 1. Galatians 1, written by Paul, chapter 1, verse 15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Paul talks about having a plan and a purpose in the womb before he was born. Just like Isaiah, just like Jeremiah, this is post-cross, new covenant. So even if you want to ignore Jeremiah, even if you want to ignore Isaiah, you can't ignore the Paul bit. Because Paul is exactly the same as you. Born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, post-cross. That's you. So if you had a plan and a purpose for Paul, it was a biggie. Your plan and purpose might not be as big as Paul's. Preaching the gospel to the known world, the Gentiles. Maybe we've not got a plan and a purpose like that. But if Paul had a plan and a purpose, no matter how big it was, you have a plan and a purpose. That's a good new covenant principle, that is. Very similar to Jeremiah and Isaiah. Big task. You know, there was nothing special about Paul. By all accounts, he was a bit of a wee weedy guy. There's nothing special about Paul, except He was a born-again believer filled with the Holy Spirit. Anybody else like that in here this morning? Yes. Hallelujah. You know, you might say, oh, Paul's a special guy. Okay, if you believe that, so are you. He was only special because he was born again and filled with the Holy Spirit and had a plan and a purpose. Oh, and found it out and then went for it. Oh, did a little bit of preparation, went to his own Bible school with the Holy Spirit. I've told you often enough, you're the same as Paul. In terms of what you have from God, you're exactly the same as Paul. And in this context, I keep telling you, you're a believer, you're filled with the Holy Spirit, exactly the same as Paul. Now I'm telling you, Paul has a plan and a purpose, so you have. Good teaching, Vic. You'll be thinking, oh, but Vic, I'll never do what Paul did. Hallelujah. Exactly. Because he had his own individual plan and purpose. So you have an individual plan and purpose. And it may be working a secular job for your whole career and encouraging your workmates. That could be your ministry. Bringing up the kids. That could be your ministry. Setting up the church, supporting another pastor. That could be your ministry, your plan, and your purpose. Teaching your whole career in a school. That could be your plan, purpose, whatever it is. Yeah, it might be full-time ministry. I don't know what it is. You need to find your own plan and purpose. Work it out. And in that sense, God gave Paul a plan and a purpose, and God expected Paul to move into that and run with it. And that's what he expects from you. That's what he expects from us. If God's made a plan and a purpose for us, you know what? It would be downright rude not to follow it. He's the Lord of Lords, King of the universe, creator of the whole universe. He's got a plan and a purpose for me. How rude it would be to ignore that. And let me tell you, some of us might think so. Think what's best for us and think we're God, but we're not. God knows a lot better than we do. He knows us a lot better than we do. If he says, Vic, I really think you should do A, B, and C, I would be stupid to do X, Y, and Z. Because he's a lot more cleverer than I am. I'm a brainy guy. I might be one of the brainiest people in here. Looking around, yeah, probably. Well, maybe one exception at the back. I'm a brainy guy, but I don't know what's best for me. Nunzi doesn't even know what's best for me. She might think, but she doesn't. She's probably got a better idea than I have. I think Almighty God, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, Creator of the universe, knows best for me, and he knows best for you as well. So if he's got a plan and a purpose for us, the least we can do is kind of try and find it and fulfill it. Even if it is just setting up a church or raising the kids. But, you know, in the eyes of it's not full-time ministry. It is full-time ministry. If that's God's plan and purpose for you, please don't devalue it. I'm just a homemaker. I'm just working a secular job. I'm just a businessman. Look at him. He's a pastor. Yeah, whoop-de-doo. Nothing against pastors, but some of them are that bad. That's near their plan and purpose. That's potentially a person. I need a job, I need a career, oh, I'll be a pastor. Father, bless it. It might have been their plan and purpose to be a teacher, be a social worker. But the same goes for somebody who's bad at working at their job. God's purpose might be for them to be a pastor. I'm not a pastor basher, okay? It works both ways. I was thinking about someone the other day that I've kind of seen as really dissatisfied. And the Lord says, yeah, they're not in their plan and purpose. Deep, deep, deep dissatisfaction. Is that maybe a sign that it ain't God's plan or purpose? You know, I'm not kind of saying, oh, you need a drastic career change. But maybe there's some things you need to start doing that maybe move things along and eventually. You know, because God doesn't expect us to change overnight. Kind of just threw that one in. It wasn't part of the message. So yeah, all those verses. And then we come to my favourite, which I think far too many of us dismiss and don't read it in a personal way. And it's one of my favourite passages of Scripture. And I've used it with many people, probably some of you. I try to encourage you, edify, and exhort you with it. And it's Psalm 139. Go home, read that, believe that, and I dare you to be depressed. I dare you to have low self-esteem. I dare you to have low self-worth. I said, read it, believe it, understand it, think it, speak it out. You should not have a bone of self-worth left in your body if you really understand that. Okay, I've got in my notes, look briefly through Psalm 139. There are so many nuggets in here that if you can personalize and use to help answer the question, why am I here? Does God really have a plan and a purpose for me? Well, he has more thoughts about you than grains of sand in the earth. You know, has God really got something want me to do? Is he really able to help me? Well, he wants to hold your hand and guide you and lead you. Why am I here? Am I an accident? No. I was fearfully and wonderfully made. Let's just say that. I was fearfully and wonderfully made. Do you believe that? Really? Truly? Really? Thank you, Michelle, for being honest. Do we really know that we were fearfully and wonderfully made? I know that when God's looking at you, Michelle, he's looking down. We made that. Look at her. We made that. All Michelles. Even Michelle, who makes my spinning class so hard. All Michelles. But Psalm 139, that was written by David. What an awesome, perfect, wonderful man of God he must have been in order to write those things about himself. Yeah, that's David the murderer and fornicator. But that's David, who was a man after God's own heart. The man that wrote that wasn't perfect. But the man that wrote that knew what God thought about him. And I think it's even better that David wrote that, knowing the kind of man that he was, and yet he still thinks, I was fearfully and wonderfully made. He could have had a wee parenthesis and said, but I made some cracking mistakes. Is that what we're focusing on? What we put in the brackets? Oh, I've made some cracking mistakes. Well, was I fearfully and wonderfully made? Psalm 139 is so encouraging. Go home and read it. Meditate on it. For months, if you have to. Until you believe all that it says. Oh, but it was written about David. But, 2 Timothy 3:16, Acts 10:34. It was written about me. There's nothing in there. But it was overturned at the cross. There's nothing in there you can say, oh, that's old covenant. What, that God thinks about me? That God made me? That God wants the best for me? That God's leading me? That God's guiding me? None of that changed. That was for David, that's for you. There's some awesome stuff in there. Focus on that and try and answer the question, why am I here? I'll tell you why you're here. Because God wants you here. God put you here. God created you to be here. I'm talking about on the earth now, at this time. You were fearfully and wonderfully made. I love the fearfully and I love the wonderfully, but made. You are not an accident of biology. You're not just one random set of chemicals and another random set of chemicals coming together and making a bigger random set of chemicals. You're not. You were made. Creation shouts out that there's a creator. If you just took what you are, really what you are, and just broke it all down and put it in a pile, yes, you're a pile of chemicals. But there's this little thing called consciousness. Where does that come from? Hydrogen, carbon, oxygen, nitrogen, potassium, phosphorus, iron. All these elements that put you together cannot explain consciousness. That can only be explained because God made you. I have trouble sometimes believing that 70% of this is water. Doesn't look like 70% water. Look through the psalm briefly, Vic. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. Repeat after me. I am marvelous. Did anybody not say that? You're marvelous. Absolutely marvelous. I am marvelous. I love that. I am. Thank you. Yes. You are, Vic. I am. Why? Because David wrote it. Because God said it about him. So that's true about me. I'm absolutely marvelous. And that my soul knoweth right well. Do we know that right well? A soul is mind, will, and emotions. It's what we think. It's what makes us tick. Do you know you're here for a purpose and a plan, and do you know you're marvelous? Oh, lots of quiet phone. No, don't want to look at him. He might look at me. Do we really know we're marvelous? Really know we're fearfully, wonderfully made? Do we really know we have a plan and a purpose before the creation of time? Do we really know that that plan and purpose has been resourced? You know, Elijah had a plan and a purpose from God. And it was go there. That's where your resources are. The birds are going to feed you. Okay, all right. That's what most of us would say. Go over there, the birds are going to feed you. Okay. Right. I've really lost it this time. God will resource it. God will equip you. Even if you think, I couldn't do that in a million years. You know what? You're right. And if you're thinking that, that's fantastic. God doesn't want big heads. Oh, yeah, not that plan of purpose. Yeah, that sounds okay, God. Yeah, I can cope with that. No bother. I think you've probably not got the plan and purpose that God's looking for you. But you want me to do that? Really? Sorry, did you just say you want me to give up my job? Really? Plan and purpose is going to be difficult. But he will equip us. He will help us. We saw that the word think, how it was an active present one. One of my favourite verses is verse 10. I'm going to show you verse 10. I've showed you verse 10 before. Michelle is Michelle, who's got a plan and a purpose over there. I'm God. Michelle is Michelle. Michelle's got a plan and a purpose. And it says, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Do you know what that looks like? Give me your hands. This is what that looks like. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. We're moving towards our plan and purpose. And she's trying to get away over there. And I'm trying to help her over here. Do you see that? I love that verse. I just love verse 10. Now, some of you may do what I do and try and picture scripture. Sit and meditate on that. He's got his left hand and he's holding your hand and he's got his arm round you. That's what thy hand lead me and thy right hand shall hold me. That's what David's saying. Your hand's leading me and your hand's holding me. Now, I don't know how God can do it because he hasn't got a body. That's a picture of him leading us and guiding us. And you know, sometimes you might try and wander off, but I was going to use another slightly different picture, but I remember when we went to Paris and we went to the catacombs, we discovered kind of a quarter of the way around the catacombs that Nunzi didn't like enclosed spaces. 100 metres underground, we're in a tunnel this wide, this high, can't go back, have to go forward, and Nunzi decides, I don't like this, I'm getting out of here. So I was a little bit like God in that instance, in that I was really holding her tight and guiding her along this way. But what God doesn't do is put his hand over your eyes so that you can't see where you're going. But it's a similar kind of picture. in a horrendous situation like us, he doesn't leave us. He guides us. That's what that verse 10 is talking about. I'm trying to be brief, but I can't really be brief on Psalm 139. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. He knew about us. And then, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me. O God, how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. Was anybody in here the day I counted the grains of sand? There's a lot of sand in a wee tub. And then there's a lot of sand over there. There's a lot of sand all around us. God has had more thoughts of you than grains of sand, not in a wee tub, nay in lossy, in the world. There's a lot of grains of sand. And he's had that many thoughts about you. That's not going to stop. It's ongoing. With the first verse we spoke about, Jeremiah 29:11, that's a present tense. That's ongoing. So he's thought about you. He's thinking about you. And he's going to think about you. You! Psalm 139 is screaming out that we are just amazing. And he loves us. And he's got a plan for us. And he wants the best for us. And we've all got that, every single one of us. We need to start believing this, believing these truths, that we are very, very special. There's kind of two sides to it. I was thinking about it last night, and I'm meditating on this, thinking about it, and thinking, that is just awesome. I am just so special. And then his voice came out of my head, yes, so is everybody else. But I am. I am so special. But then so are you. You're all so special. You're here on purpose, with a purpose. You are here with an amazing purpose that God has for you. And you've had it from before the creation of time. And I'm just thinking, I'm looking at you now. You are so blessed because you've got so much more time to find that purpose than the rest of us. You're kind of the age now where you can think and focus on what's my purpose. And you've got a head start because I kind of moved into my purpose in my 40s. Never too late. But I just have this thing, if we can get this into our youngsters. No, we're all young, Vic. Yes, I know. But if we can get these truths into our kids and teenagers, what can they do? That's awesome. Anything else I can briefly cover out of Psalm 139? He knows everything about us. He's with us all the time. He knows what we're thinking. He just knows us. There's another biggie. We may think we're insignificant and we're not doing anything important. And we don't amount to much. But God is interested in what you do. In all the things that you do. I love hearing what Lydia's got up to at school. She's a bit monosyllabic. How was school? Fine. How was swimming? Fine. But now and again, I get a conversation. And it's fantastic. And I love just the little details. I'm even interested what kind of hat Olivia had on her fizzy hair. I'm interested because Lydia is interested in those insignificant little things. The Lord's interested in your little insignificance and what you're doing. You know, most of life, it's pretty, I want to say boring, but, you know, life shouldn't be full of highs and lows and highs and lows. Life should be kind of emotionally stable. Not a lot of huge, exciting things happening all the time. But God's interested in that as well. That's Psalm 139 briefly. Yeah, he's with us all the time. So, we were created and we have a purpose. Do we believe that? So part of the question, why am I here, is because God wants you here. God put you here. God made you to be here. He wants you well. He wants you blessed. He wants you safe. The creator of the universe is also your creator, and he created you to do something. Might not be preaching to thousands, but who cares? Might be teaching children, might be working, might be bringing up a family, might be generating a business to create wealth. Whatever your plan and purpose is, you have one. And here's the challenge. Your job is to find it and live it. What is my purpose? Why am I here? There's no point in answering that if you're not going to do anything about it. Hopefully that was an encouragement, but it's a challenge as well. We've done a lot of declaring this morning. Nunzi was getting us to declare. But we know what we think and what we speak is very important. So if you're serious about it, I want you to stand up this morning, and I've got a little bit of a declaration we're going to finish with. And it's not going to be I love Pastor Vic. I want you to repeat this after me. Thank you, Lord, that you love me. Thank you, Lord, that you have a plan and purpose for my life.
Thank you, Lord, that you have a plan and purpose for my life.
Thank you, Lord, that you want me to live in health and prosperity.
Thank you, Lord, that you want me to live in health and prosperity.
Thank you, Lord, that you thought about me before time.
Thank you, Lord, that you thought about me before time.
Thank you, Lord, that you continually think about me.
Thank you, Lord, that you continually think about me.
Thank you, Lord, that you're involved in my plan and purpose. Thank you, Lord, that I have value.
Thank you, Lord, that I have value.
Thank you, Lord, that I have worth.
Thank you, Lord, that I have worth.
Thank you, Lord, that you have a use for me in your kingdom.
Thank you, Lord, that you have a use for me in your kingdom.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Awesome. Believe that. Live it. Get into Psalm 139, please, and believe that that's for you. Amen. Hallelujah.
We hope and pray that you have been blessed by listening to this message from Murray Grace Fellowship. Our vision is to provide all our messages free of charge. And for this, we thank those brothers and sisters who provide financially into the ministry. If you would like to partner with us in the preaching of the gospel, please go to our podcast site at mgf.podbean.com, where you can find our partnership link. Thank you for listening. Be blessed and be a blessing. Amen.